I've got to work fast. I really got to work faster. I am so sorry. The week has been so hectic, and I'm doing about three different jobs, plus all the work I do for the site and all the extra stuff I do around the site. So I did not have time to put up the You Asked For It for Kendo Crush. And of course, Jason Otaku found it and did a live stream of it before I could review it. So there you go. I don't even know if I should do a review now. It probably wouldn't be as cut and dry as her playthrough was, but yeah, there's a lot to discuss with that game. Greetings everyone, welcome. We are back on Sunday. This is Sound Off. Can you believe we have made it to 20 episodes of this show? 20 episodes. For me, that's... it didn't seem like we would ever get that far, but hey, you and us together, we make it happen. I am JP III, chief writer of VNSnow.com, also its owner, founder, news reporter. I'm doing basically everything at this point until the rest of my staff makes their way back from hiatus. So happy to have you here on this beautiful Sunday, some of the best weather the HQ has seen in a couple of weeks now, as we head into Easter and everything that entails. I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, if I don't do a episode of Sound Off before Easter, I may just take the week off. And it'll be very dependent on how this week goes. I'll have to see what the plan is from there. I plan on getting a lot of stuff done before Easter, just because we're about to hit a few changes. We're about to hit in a few months, we'll have our third anniversary. A lot longer than a lot of people thought we'd be around, but we're still here, we're still kicking, and we are growing, in fact. So, there you go. A lot to talk about today, mostly dealing with the review that is going up right as I speak, and it will be up probably before the show is uploaded, edited, and uploaded, and that is the review of The Wolf Among Us Episode 3, A Crooked Mile. I've been saying since last year that what Telltale is doing is a type of visual novel, and I've caught hell for it ever since. But for me, I can only talk about stuff for so long before I just go, okay, dude, put your money where your mouth is or shut up. I'm one of those kind of guys with myself, which is probably why I'm like that with so many other people. You got to put your money where your mouth is and just make it happen sometimes. So that doesn't mean that The Wolf Among Us will be nominated for any year-end awards, because if it was, it would probably blow some folks out the water. And maybe it will. I haven't fully decided how I will treat the Telltale games. But certain Telltale games, other Western games that fit into the mold of what we review here, I am going to start to cover. And along with translated visual novels as well. This week, well, let me not say that. In the coming weeks, I hope to have reviews out of World and Economica, Dandelion Wishes Upon You, or something like that. Dandelion. And If My Heart Had Wings. And it will roll into another game that I will be procuring and hopefully will get finished and reviewed before the end of the year. And that's Steins Gate. And it's not, like I said, I say it in a review, let me repeat it here. We're not changing the frequency, we're not changing the format here on WVNN. We're not going to become, you know, the gaming site of the world. But it's important to bring different perspective into the culture we are trying to penetrate. I think if I went to any of the developers, Soccer Visual, Dischan, WinterWolves, whatever, and offered them a chance to get on the Nintendo market, get on to Xbox market or PlayStation market, and market their games to a larger audience, none of them would say no. The question is, how do we prepare the audience and get them in tune with the games that are created here? Because they're good games that people, I swear to you, if a lot of people had a chance, if more people had an opportunity to see exactly what happens in this community, more people would be involved and invested. And that's what many groups need right now, not just attention, but investment. That avenue I'm going to get into a little bit later on the show, because I tweeted it out yesterday. I had a chance to demo something that I think we thought Oya would be. And this is a lot closer to what it needs to be. But let's talk a little bit about The Wolf Among Us. I'm just going to go ahead and lay it out right now. There will be spoilers in this episode talking about The Wolf Among Us. So if you haven't played it and you want to play it, and I encourage everyone to play it, if only for an education, on what the growing trend is in modern console gaming or popular gaming, then I would pick it up. But for everyone else who has picked it up or just don't care, again, spoilers, let's talk a minute, a fraction of a second, of the fact that I think everyone knew Crane wasn't the killer. We didn't know how corrupt he actually was, but the fact that we all kind of figured he's not the killer. It's a red herring. So wisely, very wisely, the focus of this episode wasn't so much, is Crane the killer, and proving that he's the killer and catching him and bringing him to justice. It was much more introspective about Bigby as a character and really what these creatures are. They're not human. They're fairy tale creations, and a lot of them were bad guys in the original fairy tale. Bigby was a bad guy, the trolls. There were a lot of evil characters that are trying to reform themselves in this new world. So the struggle between that and the struggle between their attempt to reform and what they are really took more of a focus here in this episode. And I thought it happened in a way that benefited the entire story. And it's not something that I saw a lot in a lot of reviews. But there are a lot of different subtle moments peppered throughout the game that really tied it all together, at least for me, and made it worthwhile. The first, of course, was Lily's funeral. Lily was a troll prostitute that had a spell that made her look like Snow White, who's one of the major characters of the game, and Bigby's love interest. And she had that because Ichabod Crane, Snow White's boss, had this really creepy obsession with her, to the point where, I swear to you, you cannot go through episode 2 and stand in that room he had in that brothel, designed specifically, I'll tell you, one of these episodes will happen where I don't bump my microphone or bump the table. That's going to be a good day. But until then, the scene where the murder happened, and just how creepy it all was. It was dark. But anyway, you're at her funeral, and because I went to Lawrence's house first, who was the husband of the first victim, Faith, I went to his house first and was able to save him. He was at the funeral, and just that conversation of him trying to cope with life and not trying to escape it, that was a good way to insert that character and make him relevant in the larger scheme of the story. Then stuff happens. I'm not going to spoil everything. Stuff happens. Some stuff hits the fan. People get shot. You know, it's just a troll funeral all around. And there's a moment where Bibby's getting patched up. And of course he has his shirt off because fan service. There's a point when he's getting patched up with Snow. You know, Snow asks you, you know, is there this, people say there's this small little spot in you that enjoys when things go wrong. Now, when she says, you know, in this small little spot of you, you know, is there that part of you that enjoys it when things go wrong? Because then you get to stop pretending and be who you are. You have the option of saying, no, I don't like it. I hate it. You have that option. It's not necessarily the truth, though. And I love how the dialogue trees are structured in this episode. Because you can make choices, but that doesn't make it the truth. And you can go with the flow and just be, you know, big bad wolf and whatever, but it's not in line with the truth. And the truth is with this character, and what makes him such a good character is that there is that piece of him that will always be there, regardless of how hard he works. So that's in all of us, that little dark place where we kind of enjoy the twisted side of human nature. It's not everybody has their own thing. And, you know, again, if you haven't figured it out from my Twitter page, Tumblr page, and everywhere I talk, I'm a Christian. So, original sin. I fully believe in that, and I believe that no matter how good we are, that twisted, dark place, no matter how small it is, will always be there. So no matter how hard he works at it, the big bad wolf will always be the big bad wolf in a corner of his mind. So you have the choice of saying no, hell no, and so what? The honest answer is so what? But I know there were people who played it all around the world go, no, I'm a good guy. I'm the good guy here, not the bad guy. But you have that opportunity built into the game because the rest of the game will allow you to be the big bad wolf if you want to. It's how it's structured. But then you have that moment where you can say, I can say what I want to say and how I see my role in the game. Or I can answer truthfully and how Big B's role in this world is. Very, very subtle moment. And I don't know who caught it. But I love that kind of thing that really ties together that character and that world and makes it all feel real, at least to me as a player. Another great moment, and there were a lot, I'm just going through my favorites, was when you find the person who's been making the illegal glamours, and specifically the illegal glamour. Let me stop bumping. I hope nobody heard that. And specifically the illegal grammar. Glamour. Grammar. The illegal glamour that made Lily look like Snow White so that Crane could do his thing. Oh, and another, let me back up a minute. And another great moment is in the funeral when you tell Snow White what Crane has been doing. You have the option whether or not to show her the photo. It's not one of those things where it's like, Snow will remember this. You have the option not to show her the photo. And I don't know. I'm sure there's some people who did. I don't know who they are. Maybe the Rad Brad did. I just asked her to take my word that these pictures existed. And, you know, down the line, if we just need to use them, we'll use them then. But just take my word for the time being these existed. And that was a good moment just between those characters. And I got into it a little bit in the review. But those moments between Snow White and Big B are few and far between. And that is what is needed with them, because the whole linchpin of the final act of this episode was their relationship. And we needed more of that, where it's like, you know, I know you want to be in charge and everything, but you're going to have to trust me on this one. And I like that level of, you know, nonverbal, yeah, I'm just going to trust you that if you're not showing me, it's bad. And I don't want it in my mind. I like that. But moving forward, there's a long investigation period. I get into it in the review. I'm not going to rehash too much of that here. But when you find Auntie Greenleaf, who was the witch who was making the glamours, Bigby has the option of listening to Snow White and burning the tree she was making the glamours from to stop her from making them, or defying Snow White's orders and leaving the tree be. And again, this was one of those moments that was probably skipped over by a lot of players. They either burned it so they could get points for Snow White or just left it alone out of defiance. But it was, again, you're talking about a game that looks at inner nature, the struggle between a person and their inner nature. And you have Big B, who is all four things. A part of him is fine when things go wrong so he can be the big bad wolf again. And here you have someone he has a crush on, obvious crush on, telling him to do something that is fully within his nature, be destructive as he wants to be, and you have the option of whether or not to do it. Now, I'm sure this is going to play out some in the future episodes, but And I don't know what all everyone picked, but the logic, I wish this was fleshed out a little bit more. A lot of things I wished in this episode were fleshed out a little bit more. Because that was a fantastic moment of where Big B could have just went, look, I know you're angry. I know you're upset with everything that's happening. And I know you want to take, you have no choice but to take charge of this situation. And you want to do a good job. But you got to make the smart play here, not the emotional play. And that was an emotional play of burning the tree. So there was an opportunity for this moment where Big B could have just talked her down and said, you know what? We need to leave this alone. We can use her down the road. Maybe not in the way we want to. But clearly, all of this is bigger than us. And we don't know exactly what's going on, even within our own realm. So let's just take a minute, step back here, and let cooler heads prevail. That would have been a great character moment for him. And, you know, a little bit of a shoe on the other foot thing, where it's Snow White who's been up until now the cooler head. Now it's Big B looking, and she was the cooler head really to look out for him. Now he can be the cooler head and look out for her. And now that would have been good. What we get instead is still decent. It's still, you get a good option there. That really, the obvious choice here seems to be obvious. But that, and a lot of the different investigation scenes were really needed more. This is the anti-Otome, anti-romance guy speaking. But I guess my thing is, if you're going to do either, do it right. If you're going to have one of the linchpins of your story be this unrequited sexual tension between two characters, you need more time with the two characters in the same room. We get a lot in episode one where Snow and Big B were really together on the investigation. Episode 2 dials it back a lot, mainly because we were believed for the first half Snow White was dead. Then in the second half, she had to deal with, you get the option of leaving her behind, which, again, go figure. But episode 3, we really need it because Snow White has been through a lot. Big B thought she was dead. Crane was really, really, he held her in a way that's just despicable. She's finding out all this information. On top of that, there are two murders that she has to help resolve. And now that the mayor and the deputy mayor have been taken care of, she's the only force left of good in this town. So there's a lot that she has to process. And we never get that scene of Big B. There's a lot going on here. And it's not that I don't know that I can handle it. It's I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. It's easy to be on the outside looking in and say, well, you need to do that to make things better. But when you're in the chair and you're the one making the decisions, you don't always know if you're doing the right thing. And we don't get that moment of, you know, I hope I'm doing the right thing, which would have been great for the character, would have been great for Baby, because then you get that thing of, well, you know, yes, they do care about each other, even though, you know, they want to keep it professional and strictly speaking, you know, friends. But on that deeper level, that relationship that they are teasing so hard, you can kind of see it clearly cement a little bit and see, yeah, on there is that level where they do care about each other. And that links the last two episodes and the beginning, the Greenleaf rendezvous with the final scene in the strip club where they confront Bloody Mary. I'm blowing through this game. There's a lot I'm leaving out, and I hope you take that as a sign to play the game. I like the investigative bits. I just think that there should have been they got to pace themselves a little bit better. The Walking Dead games were so perfectly paced between Lee and Clementine, and I think there's a little fear there of, well, we don't want to be accused of repeating, or, well, it really wasn't romantic, but focusing too much on just two characters, really. Narrowing our focus when we have this larger world that we can explore. They don't want to be accused of that. So, they're trying to open it up. And it's at the cost of a relationship that is really the bedrock which all of this is standing on. So hopefully in the next two episodes it gets fleshed out a little more. And we get those scenes that I'm talking about where Really. And it looks like it in the previews of episode 4, where they just kind of sit down and go, this is screwed up. This is insane. Why are we in the middle of all of this? That kind of thing, I think, would be good for both of them. It really brings it all together. But, we're going to forego a break because I am going to get all of this in if my life depended on it. And then we'll go to the break. Finally, we get to the scene, to the strip club. Crane's in the back of the strip club. This getaway strip club. He's trying to get the strippers to talk and explain. There's obviously, here we get the knowledge that Crane knows more than he's telling. Obviously, because he's trying to get them to tell who killed them. And they know, they just can't say because of magic. So they get Crane, they arrest Crane, and then they get cornered in an alleyway by the Crooked Man, who's like the kingpin of this universe, and his lackeys, Tweedledee, Tweedledum, and Bloody Mary. I love Bloody Mary! I absolutely love this character, and it's a character I want to see more of in our own little corner of the universe, where she is a serial killer, she is completely psychotic, and she's perfectly okay with that. It's the direct opposite of what Bigby is, where he's trying to reform. You know, he's trying to come into this new world and be a different person. She came across from the fable to a reality and said, you know what, I'm not going to change anything. I'm still going to be the whacked out psychopath that I am because I enjoy it. And there's always something fun. It's like, you know, the Joker and other characters that have Stripe where they know they're crazy and they would just rather be crazy than change who they are. So there's always an appeal about that character that I like. About that kind of those kind of characters that I like. The joke in the review was what? The crazy hot scale? Back me up on this, people. You know she's hot. It's just, part of it is the craziness. But I digress. They block everybody off in this alleyway, and then everything is perfect. The lighting is just right, and everything is drawn just correctly. The color scheme is perfect. Bigby goes into his werewolf form. Now, from my understanding, that's not his final form. He has three different forms. He has an intermediate form where he's still kind of, and it's obvious from what we see, that he's still kind of in control of himself. But there was a form where he totally loses control and just goes pure wolf. And we haven't seen that yet, and that may come in episode 5. But he goes into his werewolf form, beats the hell out of the Tweedles. You got the option to kill one of them, but you know, of course, Bigby, since he's still in control, I said, you know what, no, I'm going to let him live. He can still be useful. He's just a hired gun. He's not a bad guy. Just a hired gun. And Bloody Mary comes out with a silver bullet magic gun right in the kidneys. The cheapest of cheap shots. But you end the game with Snow allowing Ichabod to be taken and really undermine her own office and give up her power to this overarching evil in order to save Bigby's life. Great moment. She's holding him. He's bleeding out everywhere, close to death. Loved that moment. Overall, great game. The narrative fits into everything we've been talking about on this very website. And if you haven't played it, I've skipped a lot about it because I didn't want to do a straightforward line by line, and I don't do it in the review either. But if you haven't played The Wolf Among Us yet, or The Walking Dead, either or, go ahead, pick it up now. Each episode of The Walking Dead is only $4.99. $5. You can spare the $5. And if you're still on the fence, I'm going to explain why when we come back. This is Sound Off. My voice is about to give away. I hope you can't hear it, but I can feel it. I've had to do some different voiceover work for some projects coming up near the end of the month. And my voice is starting to give a little bit. So we're going to try and touch all of these points bit by bit and move forward from there. This is, of course, Sound Off. I am, of course, JP the Third on our 20th episode. I'm still a little shocked that I'm saying that, but hey, 20 is 20. Thank you guys so much for your support of this podcast and everything we do here at VNs Now. We are growing exponentially, and a lot of stuff is coming near the end of the year. Well, not the end, but the summer and the fall that I hope you will enjoy as well. Back to The Wolf Among Us. Just for anybody who's still on the fence, because I know that was between the review and my spoilers right there, it feels a little rushed, and you may not be interested in buying the game. But if you're still not, if you're still on the fence, well, why should I pay any attention? Why should I give this the time of day? Just remember, look at all that's happening in entertainment right now. One of my favorite series on TV right now is Hannibal. And Hannibal, they say, is on the bubble. There's not a lot of opportunity. There's not a lot of hope for it being renewed for a third season on NBC. Allow me to be clear. I would love to see it have another another season on NBC, because I've really enjoyed the show, the way it's written. It has taken gigantic risk. Basically, not the risk that a lot of critics have said, but the risk of not necessarily being a whodunit, because if you turn on the first episode of a show called Hannibal, and you don't know that Hannibal Lecter is ultimately going to be the bad guy of the series, then I'm sorry, you're an idiot. If you're going to episode, what is this, the sixth episode of the second season, and you're in your review going, I can't believe they destroyed Hannibal as the bad guy, and now we all know who did it, and there's no suspense. Idiot. Dumbass. We knew who was doing it in episode one of season one. At some point, we all knew that Hannibal was going to be the main bad guy. It was never about who did it. It was about how it was going to be done. How were they going to prove that this upstanding member of society who has no proof, who has no clear motive of doing these crimes, how are you going to prove that he is responsible for these killings? And they still, that's even in with the events of episode 6, that's the piece they still have to fit in. And it looks like that's what the rest of the season is going to be about. Fitting in that piece of how they're going to prove once and for all that Hannibal Lecter is the monster Will Graham knows he is. That is what makes it such suspenseful and interesting television. But now they say that Hannibal's on the bubble. And some people are freaking out about it. I would love to see it still on network television. But even if it isn't, so what? wait, what, JP, what? So what? If it doesn't get renewed and there's enough fan interest, then there is a really good chance that it'll get picked up, if not by one of the big cable operators, by Hulu, Netflix, Amazon. There's a million different TV studios now all doing their own independent thing outside of the network system. So just because they don't renew it doesn't mean it's going to go away. And because of that, that leads into another thing that's been popular with Telltale and that are the franchises. Now that Game of Thrones is going to be the next game that Telltale brings to life in their own independent universe. Now the thing is, well, what's the next franchise that Telltale should take and make into a game series? Obviously, they should do Hannibal. But look at how this all fits together. Now that the entire system, as we know it and understand it, is changing. Now, not only do you have to you don't have to rely on the network to be sure that your show stays on air. You don't have to wait for a big game studio. You don't have to wait for EA, Activision, one of the game studios to come in and turn your work into a franchise. Those days have passed. And this is what I've been saying since last year. The minute it clicks in these producers and developers' head, the big time television, television, fiction authors, the minute it clicks in their head that they don't have to operate outside that system to profit and expand their works, everything will change. It's why I said last January, start calling The Walking Dead a visual novel right now. Because you want to be a part of that tide when the tide comes in. And here it comes. It's coming right now. It's coming with shows like, people are talking about Hannibal being a gaming franchise. That would have been insane 10 years ago. Even 5 years ago. Breaking Bad, a Telltale franchise, a visual novel franchise. What about Boardwalk Empire? What about Hell on Wheels would be an amazing Telltale game or visual novel. Pick one. And they look at how easy it is to develop the engine. You could go on Kickstarter, you can download RenPy. Get yourself an artist, make the franchise that you want. And then just at that point, you just got to find the right way to market it and get it out to enough people. And then you're the next Telltale. It is, the entire system is on, it's right at that last cusp of changing. It's just a matter of finding the link between the relatively average consumer, the average gamer, who isn't the big hardcore, I gotta have everything in my game for it to be perfect, the perfect experience, but still enjoys gaming, and the independent creator like your Soccer Visuals, your Disc Chance, whatever. I think I finally found that link. I thought it was going to be Ouya, the console that was kickstarted 2 years ago now. I thought it would be that, so I sat back and I waited and I watched it. But it wanted to be special. And anybody who's listened to this show or follows this website for long enough, you know that I have no interest in people who want to be special and want to be unique and want to be their own little thing. Because that road always leads to failure. Because if you want to just be in your little clique, most people will be happy to let you. And you need more than your little clique to expand and survive. And that's one of the big news stories in the of the past few months. That Ouya isn't what people thought it would be. And now it's on its way out of the door. Unless it can change and be more of a multimedia platform. Which I don't think at this point. Not with the other big developers starting to get into that market. I don't think it can do it. We will see. But I had a chance to go up to Best Buy this weekend, and I had a chance to demo Amazon Fire TV. This thing could be it. I had a chance to talk with the representative and just play it. It has several. It's not the games that, you know, you get on Xbox or whatever. It's Sonic, a couple of different PC games, and this interesting little shooter Amazon is doing with their own game studio. You can also get Netflix, Hulu, all your solid gaming and not gaming, but video and audio apps. So it's all there. It's all streamlined into this one box that complements the Amazon video services and their studios while profiting off of people who have Kindle already. It's the obvious addition if you have a Kindle. And if you want that one system in your house where everything really comes together. And it's cheap. It's like $99. But just imagine all of those Kindle owners, all of those future Amazon Fire TV owners, when they go and they look for games to play, and they click and they download The Wolf Among Us, and underneath where it says recommended, like The Wolf Among Us, Dysfunctional Systems, Jisei, Nicole, well, I like Roommates better than Nicole, but Nicole is a mystery game, so quote-unquote mystery game. Nicole, all the different visual novels we've talked about for so long. If the developers can link A and B and get on an Amazon, or even an, I haven't demoed Apple TV. I'm not going to speak about it until I have. But just on Amazon Fire TV, if you can get through that process and get there, imagine how fast you will grow. That is the final link. I'm almost completely sure. I don't know how fast it'll grow. Again, the model, the entire model of how we do everything is changing. How TV networks are run now isn't the way it's going to be run 10 years from now. I guarantee you. The question is, do you want this genre to grow? Yeah, not grow to where I don't want to see Soccer Visual in a skyscraper or Winter Wolves, you know, on a yacht. Well, if they can afford it, let me back that up, because I'm a capitalist. Screw that noise. If y'all can afford a skyscraper or a yacht or anything like that, go for it. Because I want to visit the skyscraper and the yacht. So forget what I just said. I was trying to be nice because I like the small community, but screw that noise. I want you guys to make enough money where you can get a yacht. And when you get that yacht and you throw your first party, send the helicopter out for me, because I'm the one who spoke that junk into existence and said that you could get a yacht. So while I wanted to grow and everybody to be profitable, it's not for the sake of money. That's what I think I'm trying to say. I hope. My point isn't that I want people to just have money for the sake of money. I want these groups to have the money to where they don't have to worry about, they don't have to cut back on their productions, and they can make the games they want to make. If you just want to do that and have that reach where you can make the games you want to make, this is the path you have to take. I wish I could say it was another way. But anyone who's been in the EVN community long enough, I've been in here for 3 years. Maybe that's not long enough for some people. But I've been in here long enough to make the judgment call of this isn't the most profitable group of people to market a commercial game to. Some, you got to figure out a way to go outside of the community and reach a whole nother audience to get that money base you need to really give your full 110% attention to your work. And that will come from finding those portals like Amazon Fire TV. So, I understand we're taking a slightly different direction, but it's not a direction that's counterintuitive to what the community is trying to do. From my understanding of this community, everybody's just trying to make a good game. To work alongside of that, my goal in this community is to get those good games in front of an appreciative audience. Not saying that the one we got now isn't, it's just that y'all guys are, a lot of you guys are cheap. You know it's true. And one of the ways we got to start looking out of the box and saying, you know what, the PC, Mac, Linux, Steam setup is nice, but it's not how we're going to grow in the way we need to really tell the stories we want to tell. It's going to be thinking outside the box and reaching different people in different markets. And some people will be lost in the shuffle on that. I'm not going to say everybody's going to jump on. Some people will be absolutely fine being exactly where they are and not moving anywhere further. Whatever. But know that for those who are willing to experiment and try to reach this larger audience, I'm going to point it out, I'm going to profile it, and I'm going to try and link the bridge between your works and the larger gaming universe. Because it's already happening. Not because I'm just Superman and I just think this is absolutely important for me to do because I'm so super special. It's already happening on some level. Telltale, Amazon Fire TV, all these different studios are experimenting what many of the groups I'm talking to right now have perfected in a form. The question is, will you hold on to that form that you perfected or will you expand it? Try something new. And really reach the audience you deserve. That's the reason this site exists. The audience that you deserve for the games that are growing faster and faster every day. I gotta work on that tagline. But we're gonna see where it leads. I am going to look more into Amazon Fire TV and see exactly what their app process is. Because if there is a way to get games on there or suggest some games to get on there, I've got some suggestions for them. I've got plenty of suggestions for them. And I think PyTom, who created RenPy, is altering the code to where it can play on Amazon Fire TV. So if he is, fantastic. Everything is going in the right direction. In the meantime, today I'm going to get to work on everything I've been backed up on. Now that we're back in the review business, there's a lot more that I have to do. We're going to get back into the traditional visual novels in a minute. Going to go over Kendo Crush. Thank you again, Jay Zlotago, for jumping on that before I could review it. But this should be fun. Hamlet Machine, and I'm going to get into this in a little bit of the news, but the creator of Starfighter got back to me on my question, and I'm thankful for her for doing that. Ultimately, it answers what I want to know. Everything seems to be above board now, and a lot of what we assumed was the case is the case. A lot of it isn't the game, it's to build the engine. And there's nothing wrong with it. My thing is just be straightforward and honest with the people. And, you know, she was with me. She clearly, it didn't hold any. It's not like, how dare you question me? No, she was honest. And that's all I can ask for. Again, I may not play the game because it's basically pulling with a plot. But it's an. What more can you ask for but the truth? So, hopefully, we'll be keeping an eye on the game and its development. I don't wish anybody ill will, and I'm glad for her success. And we just got to see where it goes from here. And I don't know if the first sex scene that happened, that may just run out the door screaming, but we will wait and find out. In the meantime, keep it locked right here on VNsNow.com for the latest news, previews, reviews, updates, all of that good stuff that we are known for, and it's growing, it is coming bigger and better. And No, I'm going to hold. There's one more card I wanted to talk about, but I may hold that for next week. Now that we've broken 20 episodes, you know we're going to be around for a while. So, we will be... we'll be back next week. No, if I don't get it done before next Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, then you know what happened. I'm observing Easter, not necessarily focused on the show or VNs Now stuff. Regardless... when next we meet, I look forward to talking about you, about the latest news, the games, and everything you and I love to converse about. I hope you all have a good week. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Sound Off. Take care.